Good evening, everyone. John Henry Soto here, along with George Batista, and welcome to Counterparts. We actually were going to have a guest tonight. Unfortunately, he's a little under the weather, but he will be back. That's Rex Dean. We're looking forward to having him back sometime in the future, hopefully soon, and feel better. But first, just want to let you know that last week we kind of, I guess it was a soft launch of the Healthy Artist Blueprint that George and I have been working on for a long, long time. And now we're actually going to be doing sort of like a part two. We did a lot of health covered about the healthy, the part of it. Now we're going to talk a little bit more about the social media element of it and some of the videoing as well and some other really, really cool things. So please hang out and we'll be right back. All right. Well, welcome back, everyone. Thank you very much. Last week, I kind of made a mistake and we forgot to give some love to our sponsor. I'm sorry, sponsor. We do love you. So please, George, let's do that before I slip up again.
Yes, they gave us one last chance or else they were going to drop us. but so much love to Wellness Resources. So the Counterpart Show is brought to you by Wellness Resources, a family-owned and operated nutritional supplement company providing the highest quality clinically formulated supplements since 1985. Find out why Wellness Resources supplements are the top choice of not only myself, but health-conscious individuals around the world. Make sure you go to myvitaminresource.com to check out all the supplements that they have because they are fantastic, some of the best supplements in the world, in my opinion. And if you enter the promo code Counterparts, you will get free shipping on your order. And on top of that, for March, they have their March promo, which is 25% off of their daily supplements. Okay, so 25% off their daily supplements and 30% off their daily super pack, which is all their supplements combined in one little pack, which is really, really cool too. So check them out. Again, it's myvitaminresource.com.
Cool. All right. So as we said last week, the Healthy Artist Blueprint is a step-by-step guide to becoming a healthy artist. And what exactly is a healthy artist? It's not what you would think. What we did basically is, just to give you a recap of last week's show, we basically took the word healthy and we kind of broke it down and tried to figure it out, like, how can we actually take this word and not just make it about health, about physical health, but there's also mental health. There's also spiritual health. There's also health in relationships. You know, everything can be looked upon as wanting to be healthy in some format. And when you're an artist, there's a lot of different ways that you can be unhealthy, even though you have a tremendous amount of passion and tremendous amount of talent. There could be a lot of elements that are just holding you back as an artist. And this is why George and I kind of sat down and we're still working on this. We're still breaking this down, but it's something that we're really passionate about. And we want to make sure that we put this together in a format that's really going to be valuable and really helpful. You know, hello to everyone on Instagram here live. Hello. So healthy, as we mentioned before, it's not just about being physically healthy, although of course that is part of the equation. But it is help, eating and exercise, artist, being an artist, love, technology, havingness, and yes. And we broke this down last week. If you want to go back to that episode, you can. We broke these down a little bit more in detail. We're going to talk today a little bit more about, I guess it's going to fall into technology and artist element. That's where kind of this falls into. And it's one of those things that, you know, I realized not that long ago, actually, but I realized that there were so many things hit us in social media. And then there's all these different, you know, But the bottom line is just really one thing. It's branding, right? That's what we've been talking about. It's been branding. This image that you see on the screen right here of George and I is our brand. This is what we like. We look, you know, we like these colors. We like to be live. We like to interview guests that are inspiring. We like to talk about health. We like to talk about mental health. We like to talk about physical health. And that is our brand, you know? So George and I usually after a show, we have another show, after the show, and we'll talk here for like another half hour, sometimes even an hour, about something that we're passionate about and that we want to bring out. And these conversations sometimes bring out like so many other ideas and so many other, and that's where this healthy artist blueprint came from. It was the fact that, oh, you know, we haven't really been doing a lot of this kind of offering. You know, we've been talking a lot about different things, but we haven't really been doing a lot. So what are your thoughts on that?
No, I completely agree. You know, it's interesting that I'm thinking about it now. Probably a good portion of the stuff that we've actually come out with from the blueprint to a lot of the things that we do was born from those conversations after the show that we did.
100%.
It's 100%. Amazing. Yeah. I didn't really realize
it was because we were inspired by our guests. You know, exactly. We had some tremendous guests on this show, and they are constantly inspiring us. And after the show, George and I are usually like, we're so wired, and we're, you know, it's almost like after a show, right? Or performing, like when you're on stage and you're playing, and after you finish that show, you're not going to go home and sleep.
Exactly.
You know, you're just wired up. So we had the same kind of effect after our shows, and it resulted into this blueprint that we're putting together. So today I'm going to go over a couple of things. There are 10, but there kind of be there are 10 of them written down, but I'm going to kind of go back and forth and go through a couple of them. It'll be clear which ones they are, so you know. But we're going to be talking about social media and applying it as an artist. And this could go to any type of art, right? Sometimes George and I talk about film and music because that's kind of our musical and film world. That's where we are kind of like live in. But it could also go to anything, really, any kind of art that you do. And one of the things also that we realize is that everyone is an artist to some degree. You know, we all are born with certain gifts. And it's just a matter that, you know, if we can tap into those gifts and really utilize them to expand our own world and to also help others. That's really what the whole point of life, really, you know, and we all have that within us, you know, the world. And, you know, if you watch the news and whatever, you know, it tends to kind of strip that away from you or make you think that it's not really there. And that's a lie. It is there. It's there. It's more powerful now than it's ever been. Unfortunately, the media is also huge, you know, but it's not as more powerful than artists. And it's not more powerful than love. And it's not more powerful than support and just art in general. It's never going to be more powerful than that. It's just that it, you know, it gets out there and garbage gets out there. So
garbage.
So let's get started. And George, you can chime in. Obviously, this is going to be a conversation. If anybody has any questions out there while I'm speaking, please let me know. You know, drop them right there into the comment section on Instagram right here. If you can hear me, of course you can, because I'm right there. If you have a question or anything, just drop it into the comment section there. And I'm going to try to do a little dual thing here, being on Instagram as well. Okay. So we are doing branding here, right? I mean, branding is really the key thing. It's what these two knuckleheads on the screen that you see there, bobbleheads, this is our brand. You know, our brand is we're lighthearted guys. We're fun guys. We're passionate guys. That's one thing for sure. We're passionate about health and fitness. We're passionate about our families, our art. We're passionate about this show. You know, but we're not serious guys. You know what I mean? Like, we take what we do seriously, but obviously we also know that the world has enough seriousness going on that we're trying to communicate our message through being lighthearted, being fun, you know, trying to be funny, and trying to take a really good approach that's going to be able to elevate our message higher and be more acceptable than something that says, you know, you got to do this, man. This is serious. You know, we just don't want to go that route. So we're doing, so this whole thing that we're talking about is branding. And when you wake up in the morning, you should be thinking about what your brand is and what can you do towards your brand. What are you actually developing? You should have a 360 view of the art of your life as an artist. And what does that look like? You know, and then when you really gather the 360 degrees view of you as an artist, you can then kind of make a good plan. You can make you can tailor a strategy on what you're going to do on a daily basis to develop that brand. But you first have to do a couple of things, and we're going to go over that. The first thing you have to do is you have to be authentic. You have to really, you know, and that's such a cheesy thing to say, and it seems like it's like everybody says that, but man, that is so true. I mean, there is no other way I can say it. There is nothing, there's no magic pills, there's no, there's nothing, there's no classes that you're going to take that are going to, you know, you will learn how to speak better. You will learn how to operate equipment better. You will learn, you know, techniques if you're an actor. You will learn techniques if you're a filmmaker, a musician. You'll learn music and you'll learn all that. But if you're not authentic, if you're not who you really are, then all of it is just going to go by the wayside. I guarantee you, if you're trying to be somebody else, if George and I were sitting up here trying to be Gary Vee, Grant Cardone, you know, all the guys, Russell Brunson, all the guys that we admire, if we came out here and we tried to do that, we would be complete failures because that's not who we are. We're two Puerto Ricans from the Bronx.
It's just true. You know, it's just to chime in on that because that's something I've struggled with in getting into doing these types of things. Cause you know, me, John, you did this type of stuff way more, you know, longer than I did. Right. So, and I always thought in looking, watching YouTube videos and stuff, the people that who are, you know, doing this type of stuff, for example, if let's say we're just looking at interview shows and all that, they were like, you gotta do all this stuff, you know? And I, even one person who was actually teaching this actually said, you got to exaggerate yourself. You got to do, you know, and I'm thinking,
really, they actually said that?
Yeah, they actually said that. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, I would never succeed if I have to do that because that's just not my personality. You and I have had these conversations where I've even told you, I said, John, I just want to be who I'm going to be. And let the chips fall where they may, because people can also see through when you're being fake.
100%. Right? That's the thing about it.
Yeah.
They can tell when somebody's saying, you know, especially if you take that advice and you go out there and you're like, I'm exaggerating. I'm exaggerating. You know, you see tears coming out because, you know, it's not really who you are. And, you know, deep down also that hurts because there's nothing that hurts more to an artist and to someone that's trying to create content to know that that's not really what you're thinking.
Right.
You know, that's not really what you're thinking. And if you look at some of, you know, I sometimes will go back and I use this example, and I've used this before in some trainings where I'll take these two characters, Don Rickles and Bob Newhart.
Oh, wow.
Best friends.
Right.
They were best friends.
Yeah.
Bob is still with us. We lost Don a few years ago. Two of the funniest comedians ever. Completely different styles. Yeah. They're best friends, right? I mean, these guys hang out. Their wives were close friends. So, you know, if Don was trying to tell Bob, you know, you need to insult your audience more. You need to make more cracks on the audience, you know. Right. That would never work for Bob's style. No. Bob did the same thing with Don, you got to bring it down and just kind of stutter and kind of like, you know, kind of just kind of take things like, you know, kind of like this, you know, and be hilarious. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It wouldn't work for Don. So this is the importance of not only branding, but really, really being authentic. Those are two characters that are completely on both sides, completely two different sides of the spectrum. But yet They're both brilliant comedians, and they both were 100% authentic. Right. You know, another right. person that I sometimes talk about is Sammy Davis Jr. George and I are huge fans of Sammy, yes. but he this guy took the stage, and you knew that was him. Yes. It was him off stage. It was him on stage. And people who've met him, people who've spoken to him, I've heard interviews of other people that they talked to him, and they've had, you know, moments with him. And they said he was like that. That was the guy, you know, be authentic. You know, I mean, it's so valuable to trying to get your message across, because when you're being authentic, your message is going to be authentic, and then it's going to communicate very, very clearly. The second thing is know your audience. You know, George and I struggled with this for a little bit, because we would talk about, who is our audience? Is it artists? Is it people who like motivational things? Is it people who are into health and fitness? All of the above. Oh, everyone's our audience. No, they're not.
Right.
They're not. You know, everyone is not going to be your audience, you know, and you have to start narrowing it down. And George and I are still in the process of finding our audience and narrowing it down. You know, we know that we're embracing more of the fact that we grew up where we grew up, you know, that we made, you know, we did not take the norms of what was in that community. You know, we didn't follow the path of what a lot of our people that we knew did. And so we were different in that sense. We also listened to music that was very different. I mean, two Puerto Ricans listening to Rush and Led Zeppelin and was not a normal thing growing up, you know. Santana, Stevie Ray Vaughan, and all those guys that I was listening to, I didn't know one other person in my neighborhood that was listening to any of that stuff except you.
Yep.
There was nobody else. I couldn't talk to anybody about it because nobody knew. So we know that our audience is different. You know, is somewhere in that realm. You know, we're Latin men. We're from the Bronx. We don't no longer live there, so we've actually moved as well. We're family men. We have kids. All these things is where our brand is. We also are musicians, so we love the arts. You know, I'm a filmmaker, so I love making films. All these things fall into this, and knowing your audience is really going to be such a huge, huge benefit. And it's something, like I said before, I'm not talking from like, I did it, I found my perfect audience. No, we're still in the process of really narrowing that down and really finding the right audience. And we want to help people, you know, we really want to help people. And that's really one of the main passions for us to do this show. So by knowing your audience, there are certain data tracking software that you can actually utilize to kind of, you can find out where your niche is. You know, you can type in certain words on certain software. One of them is Sprout Social, where you can type in a certain thing that you're interested in. So if I type in filmmaking Latinos, it'll show me all the hashtags and all the energy that is kind of going in that direction. And then you can kind of look in that area and kind of find it. You know, this takes work. You know, that's another thing that I tell people. You know, it's like all this stuff is, it's the quiet moments, you know, it's the quiet moments of you sitting down in front of the computer, watching YouTube videos to learn something, reading a book, doing something that's really going to get you the information that you need to kind of build your own brand. That's where the work lies, you know, and getting a something like there's another one called Social Blade. These are all for research and engagement. You know, you can go in there, you can reach, you can type in a word, and then you know where to reach in that and get in that area where you want to reach towards, right? From all this information that you gather, let's say you take a like a month, and all you're going to do is just try to find your audience, right? And you start going on these platforms, Sprout Social, Social Blade, and there's a lot of other ones that you can find, and you start getting all this information, then you can tailor a strategy. You know, then you can say, okay, my strategy is going to be every day, you know, Monday morning at 9 a.m. I'm going to do this. It's going to take me 5 minutes to do this. Mm-hmm. At 1 o'clock, I'm going to do this. Right, the best times, we're going to go over that later about the best times to actually post, which are going to be also a valuable thing to know. So that's know your audience. That's going to be These first two, if you don't have those first two, stop. If you think, I don't have to be authentic, I just have to just get my numbers up, or I have to just buy followers. Buying followers is probably the worst thing you can do. Instagram, Facebook, they all know when someone purchases it, because they know you had this many followers and then a week later you have this many followers. Mm-hmm. What do they do? They shoot your engagement down. They shoot it down, and because they know that those people that are actually following now are not engaged. They are not going to buy. They are not even going to be on social media. So that's one of the reasons why they figure, well, they're not going to, all those thousands of people are not going to be looking at this page. So why would we give them any kind of a boost? You know, where this is why it's important to like know that Reels posting, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit about what actually to post, but that's a major thing. Networking is always going to be the correct thing to do. So those first two, hugely important. If you can get those two, you can go on to the next one. The next one is really, and I had like little clip things. Know your audience. Okay. Optimize your social media channel. So this is the next one. So optimize your social media channel is you have to make sure that your social media channels are up to date. Like, I'll go sometimes and I'll see someone's page and I'm interested in what they're doing. So I'll go to their page and I'll see where's their last post. And I'll look and their last post was 3 months ago. Is that someone that's engaged on their own social media? So do I want to be engaged on their social media? So you have to optimize your page and look, when was the last time I posted on the feed? When was the last time I posted on a reel? You know, what was the last story I did? You know, that's for Instagram. For Facebook, it's the same thing. But you have to look at through all your social. And if you decide you don't want to do a lot of social media pages, you only want to do two. Let's say they're the two popular ones, right? Facebook and Instagram, right? If you only want to do those two, well, you better audit those and you better look at them and you better see what's on there, because that's where people are going to go to look. If you're trying to sell a product, they're going to go there first. And they're going to look and they're going to see, okay, this person gets a lot of engagement. Their page looks pretty. They have a lot of valuable information on it. You know, if you're a comedian, they're funny. If you're a filmmaker, I see their film clips. I see their, you know, whatever is on there. And it's got to be, you have to be consistent, which we're going to talk about later. But you have to optimize your social media channels by making sure that they're up to date. Do you have a website on there? Is the website up to date? If they click on it, will it go to something that says page not found? You know, do you have hashtags on there that are no longer used, because hashtags now have changed, right? Last in February of this year, there was a huge change on Instagram. The whole algorithms were changed recently. So it changed a lot of things for hashtags. So when you look at your pages, especially on Facebook, because Facebook is a lot of people go to Facebook to buy. Facebook is not really a social media channel anymore, right? It's a marketing company now, right? And people go there, they purchase stuff, they sell their own stuff there. So when they're on there and they see your stuff, they're going to go onto your Facebook page and they're going to see, what are you doing? And if it's not up to date, they're going to go to the next person. I guarantee you they're going to walk away. If you have no engagement, you have nothing interesting on your page, and it hasn't been there for a long time, they are not going to stick around, and you will not make the sale. You will not make the connection. You will not be able to network or anything.
I have a question on this. So with, you know, you talked about the algorithms of, you know, like the Instagrams and these types of things. So if you're an artist and you're posting and you're doing now, let's say you're getting started or whatever, and you're trying to put some stuff in, how do you follow that? You know, how do you know, you know, do you have to constantly like look at the back end and see, okay, the algorithm changed this week, or, you know what I'm saying? Because let's say you're posting stuff. How do you know if that's going to get engagement or if they change the algorithm?
Sure. Yeah. You can go on to Instagram itself and go on to, you know, three little lines, it'll show you at the bottom, it'll show you like there's a whole bunch of pages there that you can actually click into that'll show you what's happening now. You could also type in like new on Instagram, you know, on you can do that on YouTube, you know, what's happening new on Instagram. There's also I can't forget his name, but he's he comes on once a week and he does a new, he talks about the new features that are being put out on Instagram and he'll tell you what they are. He's not really going to say we changed the algorithms, you know, he's not really going to say that, but he does he will give you certain hints on what they're looking for, because Instagram, whether you like social media or not, it doesn't really matter, right? Because social media doesn't care about us, right? It really doesn't, right? It's a tool that we use to kind of get our message out and to, you know, all they care about is your eyes and eyes on their platforms. That's all they care about. So they're going to create tools that are going to have you engage more, you know, and I'm going to talk about a little bit on something that they just released recently, a little bit later, that is something that they're pushing right now. And if they're telling you, this is what we like, you know, people just scroll through it and just keep doing their own same thing, you know? And I mean, I'm guilty of that. You know, it's like, I'm like, well, I'm not going to do that right now because I don't have the time. And then I'll forget later on, but you have to be consistent on it. If they're telling you this is a good thing, you do the thing. You know what I mean? I did it for like a week. I was like following some of the trends and whatever they were posting that they were doing. And, you know, it wasn't a lot of money, but, you know, I got like $50 that Facebook sent me, you know, so I was like, all right, you know, $50 for, you know, a week of just posting a couple of times of reels, you know, a couple of reels, you know, and now I'm doubling down on that to see where it goes. But you got to pay attention to what they're telling you that they like, you know, they're telling you, you know, people get mad, oh, the algorithms are wrong now, and now they're, and now I can't do this, so it's not working anymore. Nobody cares, you know, it's a harsh fact. I'm sorry to say it that way, but nobody cares that we're complaining about social media. I've done it. I'm like, man, I can't believe this. I posted this thing and I had all these views on this one. And now I did it on this one and I got nothing on there. Right. Well, okay. Do the next one. You know, you just have to keep moving forward. Right. Does that answer what
yes.
You,
yes. No, yeah, that was good.
So, what was that? It was optimized, right? So optimize your social, go through all everything, even go to your website. What does your website look like? Have you looked at your website? You know, we tend to put out websites and then we don't really look at them. George and I right now are revamping ours and doing some really cool stuff with the website now. But, you know, you have to be on top of it. Okay, this one is really the important, really important. You're going to be doing this for a long time. If I can find it here. Oh, did I not put it here?
Run naked through the no.
No, I guess I didn't put it on here. Hang on, I'll just tell you what it is then. So this one is to interact with your fans and your followers. You know, you have to interact with them. I see so many times where I'll send a message to someone, you know, who I know doesn't have a lot of followers, and I'll comment on them and I don't hear back at all. I don't hear anything. And it's always like, wow, okay. You don't have that many people to begin with. I understand if you have like a million followers or 100,000 or 10,000 followers, it's hard to keep up with all the questions and stuff. But if you don't, you really need to start, especially if you don't have that many. That's going to be your audience. You know, that's going to be the ones that are going to be supporting you in 10 years when you're still at the game. They're going to remember, oh yeah, he replied to my question, you know, and he's always replied to my questions, you know, and that's why I support him. So you have to get in there and engage. And when I say engage, is I don't even mean just on your own content. I don't mean on when people make a comment on your stuff. I'm saying go to other people's pages that you admire, make comments on their page, engage with the community that you're interested in. If you're a filmmaker, talk to filmmakers. If you're a musician, go talk to musicians, you know, that are at your level, right? You know, I mean, they have 5,000 followers. You have 5,000 followers. Find out where they are, you know, support their music. They'll support your music, you know, and you create a community of people that are supporting each other. That's really huge. People do not spend time doing that. And I always say, take an hour, you know, a week, if you want to start, right? An hour a week and just sit there. And all you're going to do, not post anything. You're just going to go onto the pages that you admire of those artists and those people that you follow and make a comment. make a comment on comments. You know, someone made a really interesting comment on someone's post, make a comment on that comment. So you get that follower that was, you know, if you have like somebody, like for instance, I have a lot of followers from Grant Cardone and Gary Vee because I follow them. I make comments on the comments that somebody commented on them, you know. And so they get interested talking to me in a WeChat, and then they start following me. I start following them, and we create a synergy that way, right? So engagement is like so important, and you have to interact. When anyone sends you a message, you have to reply. Even if it's just a thumbs up, if you have, you don't have enough time, a thumbs up, a like, you have to reply to them. Always, always reply.
Right? What if somebody, but sometimes somebody wants to send you a message that you know is complete, like spammy, basically, right? Well, are you still replying to that, or
I don't reply, but I hit a like on it because
at least it's something.
It's something coming in. I want I want the Instagram or Facebook or whatever to know that I engage with whatever this was coming in. It's 99.99%. It's a robot. It's a bot. You know what I mean? And it'll tell you like, "Hey, love your page. Contact DM me for whatever." Right?
Right.
Those come in. You know, bots are out there. You know. I just give it a like. I don't comment on it, obviously. But when anything comes in that's actually a legitimate thing, you know, do it. Also, what I do is if something comes in or tags me on something that's like inappropriate, like something that's like pornographic or something that's spammy or something, I go to that page and I block it. Because if you just leave it and you're like, well, I'm just going to ignore it. Yeah, but you've been tagged on something that's not okay. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So rather than do that, I go in and it takes a lot of time and, you know, it does, you have to go in, you got to go to the page, you got to hit block and you have to, you know, block them and stuff. Super important because then, you know, that's actually lessened a lot for me. Like once I started doing that, I used to get a lot. I don't get that many anymore because now I feel like they're like Instagram is almost protecting in a sense, because they know that if this comes in, I'm going to block it anyway, you know, so they kind of like, they know this page is, I don't know, has angels protecting it. Angeles. Okay. So, where were we? Okay. So yeah, engage. And also another idea for engagement is, you know, be creative with engagement too, right? Like, you know, when you post something like on your stories, you don't have to always just post a picture. Hey, I'm here. Hey, I'm there. Hey, look at this. Put a poll on there. You know, I just had this new coffee and I like it. Do you like your coffee light, strong, mild? And do a poll, you know, and that gets more engagement. Do a ask a question. You know, when people say ask me anything, that kind of thing. You can do one of those also. You know, people like to ask questions and stuff. But find creative ways to engage. You know, if you're at a supermarket and you see a brand of something that you like, you could say, "Hey, what do you think of this brand? You think it's good for this or that?" You know, tag the brand in there also. That's another really good way of engaging, is to tag any brand that you actually are using, tag them in your posts, especially if you're doing stories, because then that gets it's very quick. And that actually creates a lot of energy, of positive energy. Okay, so the next one is short form videos. So Instagram is a little bit different now. Like I said earlier, they changed a little bit of, you know, they're not that big into on the long form. You know, they like the reels, which are short. They like the stories, which are short. They like if you do a video for your feed, which is also short. So short form video, but with a purpose, with a point to it. Very, very important to actually get involved in that. Instagram, TikTok, YouTube Shorts, very, very big right now. There's also like if you want to schedule something, there's schedulers that you can actually use. Each of these platforms has their own scheduler, but then you have to go to each platform to schedule them. Now there are things like Hootsuite that you can actually utilize, which I've used for different companies that I've worked for, where you actually you use Hootsuite and you get all the platforms into this one platform. Now, I will warn you that I've seen lower engagement by using these platforms, because I know that the platforms like for you to be directly on there, and they can tell that it's coming from Hootsuite or it's coming from one of those. So I will tell you that in my experience, I've noticed lower engagement across the boards when using one of those platforms. I don't know if that's changed, although I don't think it has, because I've used it not that long ago. But there may be another software out there that actually is a scheduler. So this way, you know, you can take like a Sunday night and you can say, okay, Sunday night, I'm going to just schedule for the week, and you can do that. So if you're doing both, though, this is what I always recommend. If you want to use a scheduler because there's certain things that you want to get out consistently and you don't want to forget, use the scheduler like on a Sunday night. You take your 2 hours, you sit there and you schedule out the whole week, 2 or 3 posts every day for the whole week or for the whole month or whatever you can get done on that during that time. And then you go also directly onto the platforms and you start adding stories and you start adding, making reels and stuff like that. That's a good idea because it's just more content. If you're only doing the scheduling, there's a good chance that your content will be not as engaging to an audience, because those platforms are not super thrilled with those type of things. They want you on there because they want to sell stuff. Let's face it. All the platforms want to sell you stuff, right? That's why they exist. They give it to you for free, right? You get Instagram for free, and people think, oh, it's free. It is free, and it's awesome that it's free, right? But they want you to buy stuff. They also want you to pay for ads. It's okay. Pay for ads. You know, pay for ads, and buy some of the stuff if it's interesting to you. If it's not interesting to you, you can go on to every single thing that comes in. I'm not interested. Hit it, and you won't see it again. You know, there is a benefit to that, you know. So
just a quick question on that. Do you think so? Because YouTube has always been for pretty much the long form stuff, right? That's kind of like for the most part. Yeah. And then they got into the short form stuff, right? Obviously, yeah. Now a lot of people are posting the short forms and on that. But does YouTube always still do better with the long form versus the short form, like against like an Instagram or a TikTok?
YouTube is not even really fair to even compare, because YouTube is a monster. YouTube is not a social media thing. YouTube is the second largest search engine in the world, right? So it's not just a platform where you go and you post things, but the fact that it is the second largest platform search engine in the world makes it extremely valuable to post them stuff on. Right. The longer form videos on YouTube is becoming more and more. You know, people would always say, well, you know, there's a short attention span, but no, not really. If the audience is there, listen, I've sat through two guitar pedals where they are challenging each other to try to see which one sounds better. And sometimes these things can go like 45 minutes on people talking about pedals and the mechanics and what the intricate circuits on these things. I'm a geek. I will sit through a 45 minute video where they talk about that. Not everyone will. So the audience, you have to find the audience that would be willing to sit. George, you're into health and fitness. You'll watch a video of someone talking about something that you're interested in health. Yeah. Yes. You know, we just saw Steve Gadd on Rick Beato, right? Yeah. An hour interview. We love Steve Gadd. We love Rick Beato. We're going to watch the whole interview, right? Start to finish. So, you know, you have to look at it that way rather than, and then the YouTube shorts are sort of like sprinkled love that you can really put out there really quickly. And it's actually really, it can direct people to your content.
Okay.
It'll direct people to your actual long form videos. So like, let's say you do a short and you say like, yeah, and it's really interesting. I had no idea that this was a big thing, but I'm going to tell you what they are right now. Just follow me on this thing, you know, and then people will, from there, they're going to go and they're going to say, oh, I want to know about that. If that's your audience, you know, then they'll follow you on your channel. And there's a lot of ways to do that. And we're going to talk a little bit about something. Well, how much time do we have here? Okay. All right. Well, we got to, oh boy. Okay. So, well, we don't really have a time limit. So if everybody hanging out, get yourself some tea, some coffee, and we're going to go, we're at the home stretch here. Okay. So the next one is, did I even put this in there? Yes, I did. Okay. Sync up your social media channels. Now, this is different from what I talked about earlier about optimizing your channels. Optimizing your channels meant make sure that they look good. Make sure that they're clean. Make sure that they have engaging content, at least at the, you know, the first 9 cubes on your Instagram and the first few scrolls on your Facebook that look interesting. Make sure that they're recent. You know, unless you pin something, right? On Instagram now, you can pin the top 3 posts, right? So you pin the top 3, and then everything else goes, you know, it has to be current. It has to be, you know, something that's recent. That's when you optimize your pages. Sync up your social media channels means that get a link tree or get a, there's another one called link something. I don't know. It's, I use link tree. A link tree is basically a website that has all your social medias on one location. So you can actually just tell people to go to John Henry. Like if you go to my page, my personal page, johnhenrysoto.com, you'll see a link tree and it'll have this show right here. Counterparts Show will be on the top, and on the bottom, it'll be my Facebook pages, my film, my latest film, my music stuff, and all my social media channels will be on this page, including things at the bottom, like articles, my blog, all the stuff that's on there is on this link tree. And it's just a really nice, clean place to send people to where they can kind of get what they're interested in. Not everyone's going to want to see anything on my films, or not, they might only like Counterparts or vice versa. So you want to give them a place to go to where they can actually kind of look around and shop and go for what they want to go. And if you direct somebody to it, you can always still tell them, oh yeah, you just go to my, I tell people go to johnhenrysoto.com for Counterparts, even though counterpartsshow.com is a site, but it takes people to my page. They can go to Counterparts, but they could also see more about me and say like, oh, I didn't know he did this, or I didn't know he did that. You know, I didn't know he was an exotic dancer on Friday nights at Chippendales. Like, wow, that's amazing. I had no idea.
You have to forget that.
Yeah. There is a fee for that. So that's really important to do that. It's basically a clear access route that you want to actually give to the audience, to give to your fans. You want to make it easy for them to find where the goods are. You know, you don't want to give them too many obstacles because there's way too many distractions or as it is. And if you're giving them another distraction, it's just going to make them go away. Okay. So that's that one. Now this one, the next one, which is number 7, is something that you're building on. You're going to build leverage as you go along. Building leverage can be tricky because it's like, well, I have to do things. I have to get, you know, I have to have leverage to get leverage, right? You know, it's like a rock in a hard place, you know? So what you do is you go slowly, you know, like if you're a filmmaker, for instance, well, go make a film. You know what I mean? I mean, you can make films now for not that much money. You can make them on your phones. You can go on YouTube and you can see tutorials on how to do this. If you're a musician, play your songs, play your songs, show your song, show your goods. This way people will look at it and then you have leverage. You say like, okay, well, this is what I can do. You know, George and I have our show, you know, this is leverage. We have like, we've been doing this for 2 years now. You know what I mean? We have a lot of shows. We have a lot of content. We also do our own content outside of this. So we come with some leverage that we can show people and say, hey, look, we've been doing this for 2 years. People are going to take us a little bit more seriously and give us a chance to show them what we can do. Right. So that's leverage. okay. So now we're going to go into our 8, 9, and 10, which are kind of be a little bit all together, but I'm going to be very clear on them. And we have about 15 minutes here to the hour. We might go a little long here, as we all know how George and I do. We like to make sure we're done with our communication. And we appreciate, if you're still here, God, we love you, right? I mean, we appreciate you so much. You have no idea that
Lord knows our wives don't listen to us for that long. So
yeah, exactly. It's usually it's the most listened to that we get. So number eight is something that we hear all the time is consistency. I don't even have a thing for that because it's just too consistency. Okay. I mean, if you post three things today and then you take tomorrow off and then you post next week twice and then you come back in a month and then you forget your password so you can't log in. you see people like, I had an account, but I can't remember my password, so I can't get in because I got a new phone. And man, you are just doing yourself a disservice because, again, there is so much content being thrown at people on a daily basis that they're unable to focus on you. You know, if you don't give them at least a reason to come back, they won't come back. And next time they see you, they're not going to even take you that seriously because, subconsciously, they're going to look at someone that's just not consistent. It may not be something that you said, but it's something that you did, you know, and it's the whole, if you made them feel wanted and then not wanted, right? Like, let's say George and I are here. We're like, hey, artists, we love artists. And then you don't see us for 6 months. Mm-hmm. When we come back again, we're like, artists, nobody's going to take us seriously. They're just not, you know?
Yeah. You know, it's a little bit like the person who we're talking to right now. Okay. Let's say you take it out of the social media, look at the consistency of your favorite television show or whatever, you know, artists or whatever artists you follow. Like if, you know, you see there every single week that they have their show. So you're waiting for it, right? Oh, you know, or let's say you're binging on that show, right? Yeah. And then what happens at the end? You're waiting for the next season, right? You want that consistency of, okay, here comes, you know, here it comes again. So it's kind of the same concept, but you can kind of build it out into anything, right? Into film, health, life, whatever, but it's the key.
Yeah. I mean, our show is based on wanting to make people feel good and helping people. So if you know that that's what you're going to get when you come here, you're going to want to come back because you felt good last time.
Right.
And you're like, oh, yeah, they were funny and they said some funny things and they were, they had their guests was really engaging. It's a really important element to, and we're going to talk about that. And it's also consistency across the platforms, across all platforms. If you decide you want two platforms, be consistent on two platforms. Right. If you pick five, well, then you better pick five. You think you bit off more than you can chew, go back to two and let the other ones go away. But the whatever you pick, you stick to it and you have to be consistent on those platforms. Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about hashtags and what Instagram does and stuff like that. Like I said before, complaining about it, which I do, doesn't do anything, right? My numbers don't go up when I complain. Funny enough, it just doesn't work that way. Actually, nothing happens when I complain. Nothing good happens when I complain. And I'm always wondering, like, how come? If there was only a stat that I can keep, I complain four times, you know, my stats would be through the roof. But it doesn't do anything. It doesn't do anything. So Instagram has different – in February of this year, they changed the algorithms a little bit where they're actually pushing photos now. Now, they're always pushing reels, but they're pushing photos a little bit. But what they're doing is they're pushing photos carousel. So do you know the carousels, the carousel feature? So carousel features is that you can actually put – 3 to 4 photos, or I think it even goes up to 5 photos where you can actually, no, I think it goes up to more. It goes to 10 photos. Actually, you can put 10 photos in onto the feed itself and then people can scroll through it. So that's why you're seeing a lot of people like, reasons why we should da 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 da, and then you click on it and you got to scroll to the next one. Number one, da, da, da.
Yes,
number
two, da, da, da. Yes.
10 reasons why you should, take vitamin C.
Right.
10 reasons why this thing is, you know, whatever it is. There's a lot of those right now because carousel is, they're pushing that a little bit. Now they're pushing reels. So you shouldn't do a lot of those. You know, you can do one photo a day, right? My recommendation is one photo a day and the rest of it should always be just reels. You should just be doing reels. If the reels are, you can't think of anything, you can put a silliness, as a reel. I do that all the time. Some of my reels are like, they're kind of like silly and stuff. It's because I want to fill up my reels. I want to have more in there and just have more content. People know that I'm kind of a clown. I kind of, you know, go out of my way to make myself look silly sometimes or to be silly because I want to just entertain. But so that's sort of like my brand. It's okay for me to do that. It doesn't mean to everyone should go out there. If you're a doctor, you probably don't want to go out there and just do silly reels. If you're a serious, you know, I don't know what's a serious thing, serious accountant or something, or if you're a lawyer, you right. know, you want to do lawyer stuff, right? You don't want to just be silly and stuff like that, but you have to find ways to fill in those reels. What was your question? There?
No. So even though Instagram is pushing more photos, you still recommend only one a day versus the reels and still doing more yes. reels? Okay.
Yes. One a day is more than enough. They're pushing it out, but they're not, it's not like a big push. It's just, but they're focusing more on that a little bit as of late, you know, that may change as of like when this show is over. You know what I mean? Like that's how quickly they'll change things. You know, another thing is text on the screen, you know, putting text on the screen. You're seeing that a lot now where you see people talking and the words that they're saying comes up on yeah. the screen, or that's actually the caption, the closed caption, but there's also just words on the screen, like, you know, just big words right over their face, you know, as they're saying stuff. And the reason for that is because a lot of people have been using Instagram and Facebook on silent because they're either at work, they're, you know, kids at school, I guess college kids, because if you're young, you should not be on your phone in school, get an education. But we definitely want to start putting text on screens. Okay. There's a lot of different ways that you can do it. I'm not going to teach you that here because it's a little bit, it's a lot. It's not a lot to do. It's not hard to do, but there is a website that you can learn all of this. It's called youtube.com, and you type it in and you can learn everything right on there. I guarantee you that they'll teach you how to do that. The reason that they're doing this, the text on the screen, is because they're optimizing for watch time, right? So people need to be watching. So Facebook is going to, Instagram is going to give you a boost if people are watching your content and are engaged with it. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing, right? That's the only way that you're going to get it, right? And it has to be real people, not fake people, not robots. It has to be real people engaging your content, right? So they do that. If people are now reading what you're saying, they're on your pay, on your, instead of scrolling away, they're there for like, remember, they can tell the scrolls.
Right.
You know what I mean? Exactly. They can tell the scroll. Yeah, sure, so if you're 10 seconds on a page, you just got a 10-second win.
Mm-hmm.
You just held somebody for 10 seconds because they're reading whatever's on the screen. And right. what if what's on the screen says, find out how I made $10,000 in a week? Oh, I'm going to go to that page, right? That's a really important thing. Let me see. Yeah, that's it for that. So another thing is that you don't want to say certain words. Remember, they're also listening, right? And again, not to get into the whole conspiracy thing, but people do listen to our we know, we do that when we're on our phones and we say, you know, we say, I don't want to say it now because my phone will go off, but we'll say the name of that person that will trigger our phone so we can order stuff or we can have our phones do things for us, right? So it's constantly listening. So when you're recording something, you don't want to say, go to my link in the bio. Don't say link in bio. Don't say link in bio. Because link in bio is telling people, it's telling Instagram that you're sending someone away from their platform. They want to keep you on the platform. So if you're directing them to somewhere else, they're not going to give you love, you know? So don't tell them, go to my website. It's in the description on my page. Go to my page. Go to my website. No, you tell them to DM me. You want to know more? Send me a DM. This way they have to go onto your page, which is good because now Instagram is going to look at that. And they have to actually go to the message, which is also good because Instagram is going to be like, oh, wow. They're, not only did they go on the page, but they also message them. So you want to make sure that you say, DM me, or I think people, most people say DM, right? I think that's the proper term now, is to DM. So you want to DM me. So what are the best times to post? No one asked, but here we go. Remember that a lot of people are scheduling posts. So I'm going to tell you the times, and then I'm going to give you a tip right afterwards. So the best times to post, by the way, we're in number 9 right now, just so we know, and we've got about, five minutes here. So the best times to post are 9 to 11, 1 to 3, and 7 to 10. Now, because people are scheduling, do not post at 9. Post at like 9:03. At like 9:05, 9:07. You know, do not post on the hour, because that's when all those schedulers and all those people that are scheduling are posting at that time. So give yourself a little bit of a give them a break, let them all come out, and then you come out at 9:03, you know, however long it takes, you know, for your content. You also have to visualize your content, you know, like be objective about it. Look at it and say, okay, how long do you think people are going to take to read my content? You know what I mean? Like, how long is this going to take? Well, read it. Okay, it took me 3 seconds. Okay, so that gives me 3 seconds. Let me give someone 5 seconds. So I'm going to say, okay, you're going to, everything comes out at 9 a.m. I'm going to post at 9:07, because that's every day at 9:07. Now, are you going to do it every day at 9:07? No, don't do it every day. Do it 9:08 next time. Do it 9:09. Do it 9:03. You know, but don't do it on the hour. And that goes for all the times, you know, for all the times. Those are the best times when people are engaging.
Well, what's interesting, I can understand the 1 to 3 and the 7 to 10, right? Because 1 to 3, a lot of people are at lunch. Mm-hmm. 7 to 10, people are home from dinner, you know. But the 9 to 11.
People don't work. People get to work at 9 o'clock in the morning and they just hang around.
Well, true. I mean, there are a lot of people that don't work. But
no, I mean, yes. There are a majority of corporate America, people that are on, you know, and I'm going to answer your question, but go ahead. We'll finish.
No, that's so my question.
The world of the 9 to 5 world is going away, right? We all know that now. Right. We all know the world is different now, right? Right. You get hired to do the job and you do the job. And if it takes you an hour to do the job, you do the job in an hour. And then the rest of the time you can build on what you were doing, or you can do whatever else, but you don't have to. It's not the 9 to 5 thing anymore. So people that are getting to work nowadays, especially people that are younger and, you know, that are really consuming a lot of content on social media, are not necessarily working at 9 a.m. They're not placing anything going on there. They're hanging out for about 10 to 15 minutes.
Right. And you also have to factor in, I just thought about it a lot, more than ever now, people are working from home.
Way more.
And so that gives them that extra time to, you know, it doesn't take that long to post something, right? So that gives them that extra time. Oh, here, boom, I can post that, boom, and then, you know, go to work.
Right. I mean, you can do it sometimes, you know, you're on a Zoom meeting and you're not participating, but you're just listening, you know, you're on your, you can be on your phone, kind of just looking and seeing what's going on and liking posts and stuff like that. You know, I'm not recommending that. It's not something that I do.
John said it. That's John Henry Soto at protonmail.com.
So going back a little bit to what we're talking about, using what Instagram and what Facebook and what all these platforms are giving us, right? It's really important to look at them. One of the things that Instagram has been posting out now is the templates. I don't know if you've seen them. Sometimes you go on there and they show up in the middle of your screen. They you can scroll through them. They'll give you like 4 or 5 different templates.
Right.
Use those. They're telling you they like them. Mm. They're telling you this, we like this, and we're giving love to this. So use it, you know, use the templates. It may not communicate what you want. Go back, use another one. Find one that fits in with what you're, if your brand is like, you know, baking cakes, find one that relates in there. You wouldn't find one that's a business thing, right? You would find one that relates. They usually give you 4 or 5. So there's something in there that you can fit your content in. And remember, what you're using is basically your photos, right, with the template. The template is going to do whatever the template does, right? It comes in, shows a photo, whatever. So you have to also make sure that the photos are cropped properly for the templates, because sometimes if you do a template, it may, you may do a picture of yourself, but it'll chop your head off and then you don't see it, and then it makes no sense. So you got to spend time with it. Once you kind of understand how the templates are, because they're usually the same kind of templates, but just mixed in with different colors and different music and stuff like that. Once you know those, then you can, you have photos that will fit into those templates, you know? Okay. And if it's a video template, some, you know, they're doing those also, then find a location. And this is a, something that I tell people, find locations in your home that you know that you're going to be able to shoot from, you know, like this right now, I'm on Instagram right now. There's a green screen behind me because it's green. And I have this here, right here on my show. It looks beautiful, right? But right here, it looks like this. They know who I am. They know I'm, I do this all the time. They know I have a green screen. They know this is my mic. They know I'm on, I'm live on the show, right? This is okay for me. This is my area where I do my things, right? Right. I have a few other areas. I got a little chair over there, that a bookshelf behind me that I do content. And I have in the kitchen, I have a little connector where I can do content. Find your areas where you can do content easily and quickly, because you get the ideas. And instead of like trying to be like, oh yeah, that's a good idea, I'm going to do that later, and then walking away, you ain't going to do that later.
Right. True.
You're going to go back and you're like, oh, what was that thing that I was like? No, you're going to forget it and it's going to go away. And you just lost an opportunity to build something, to create some content. So the last one, again, we're going to just go back to number 8 again. Consistency, please keep that going. But this next one accounts for that. Go live. Go live. People do not go live. You have to start using the live. Live is huge. It's the best time that you can engage with your audience. Mm-hmm. Letting them know I'm going to go live on this day and I'm going to be talking about this thing, you know, come join me, you know. And if one person shows up, awesome. If two people show up, awesome. If those two people tell two people, you got four in the next thing and you build from there. But you have to go live and you have to push aside the fear of like, oh, what am I going to look like? Or what am I going to say? Or what am I going to, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Make yourself as presentable as you can, you know what I mean? Comb your hair, wear a hat, put on some nice clothes. You don't have to wear a hat. I wear a hat because I got no hair, but wear a hat and be, and then just be, go back to number one, be authentic, be you, and just communicate your thoughts. And that's my spiel for the day. That is part of the, what you're going to get with the Healthy Artist Blueprint that we're putting out. It is going to be probably a download, not probably, it will be a download on our website that you can download for free. It's going to be about 30 pages. You might not want to print it out. George and I are looking to make it into a book at some point with some more features, because I think we'll expand on it if it's a book. We'll put more of our personal stories and our journey as well in it.
But think of the value that you're getting out of this free document. I mean, we could easily charge for that document, but I think there's a tremendous value in there.
It really is, because it comes with like all the mistakes handled. Right. You know, like you don't have to now worry about certain things. And a lot of this is also mindset too. You know, I mean, we do talk a lot about mindset on our show in general and just in our lives, because if you don't have the right mindset to begin with, if you think that this blueprint is going to make you, oh, this blueprint is going to make me now I'm going to be a rich and famous or whatever it is, your viewpoint is needs to be changed. Because you know what I mean? You have to take this for the fact of, this is going to help me develop what I already am, because you're already great, right? We're all great. We all have these amazing abilities and these amazing opportunities to help others. So we have greatness in us. Sometimes we just need a little bit of a push, a little bit of an adjustment in certain areas that will really, really rocket ride us, you know, that will really rocket ride us. So I think it's really important. And this is going to be free. Like George said, it's going to be on our website. It's probably going to be 30 pages. I think it's going to be more than that. What I went through alone is about 10, 11 pages of it. George had about 6 pages that he went over last week on just the health part. There's more parts to this. You know, we're going to be talking about the being an artist. We're going to be talking about love. We're going to be talking about the technology of things, which this actually went into a little bit of the technology, but this was more of the overall social media of how to use the technology. But there's also technical things about actually camera work and lighting and certain things that are the actual technology part of it. We're going to talk about having this, which is, I don't think there's any place that you can read about what it is to actually be, or why it's okay for us to actually have things, why it's okay to want to be successful, you know, and wanting the havingness and being able to want others to have success. All these things are something that's never covered in anything that I've ever seen. And I think it's super important. And then the last one on this list is yes. You know, we all too often we hear opportunities and our minds for some reason sometimes will go right into a no, you know, or at least a fear. And I don't want to because I'm afraid. I want to, but I don't want to because, man, that's confronting something I don't want to confront. Say yes. Say I'm nervous, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to dive in and I'm going to try to do it. And then you know what happens? You're going to dive in. And if you did not reach or it was not what you expected, doesn't matter, because the act of you diving in is going to give you so much more education and so much more ability for the next time that you dive in, that it's going to be well worth it to take that first dive. You know, George and I always talk about this. You know, I jump and I build a parachute on the way down. You know, that's really what I've done. I've done that numerous times, and I've been scared. I've been scared going into these opportunities. And I tell you, and when they didn't turn out my way, they were awesome because I got that experience of it. Okay. So that is our, thank you. That was our, spiel for the evening. I hope that was of value to you. I love doing this. If there's any questions, you can always email me as I choke. You can email me at johnhenrysoto@protonmail.com. You can check out George's content on georgebatista.com. And as always, you can always visit us, our show, and all our past episodes, counterpartsshow.com, and it is a lot of value on there.
I just want to mention, all I can say about this content that you put out today is
wow. Yes, wow. Thank you, George. I appreciate that.
Well done.
And we are going to be leaving you tonight and thanking you as always for spending this time with us. We've gone over by 8 minutes, but we appreciate you if you're still here. We love you. We will see you next week again, same time, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, counterpartsshow.com. Thank you, George. And as always,